Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and it is our final digging deeper of the season. Survivor 46 is in the books. Last night, we crowned a new sole survivor, and Blake had come up with the idea before this season, or before the finale aired, actually a couple weeks ago, where he said, we should dive back in and look at the Q confessional during the hide-and-seek game and see what that actually predicted. Because, you know, every now and then you watch a movie, you watch a TV show, there's this huge monologue that you think is just there to fill pages, and then you get to the end and you say, wow, did that tell me literally everything that happened in the movie? If you ever watched Magnolia, the entire worm rap is what I always think of when it comes to that, where it tells you that it's literally going to rain frogs, and then it does. But so we decided, let's take a look at the hide and seek situation. And we're also going to talk about Kenzie's place in the history of Survivor as the newest sole survivor. Last night, Will and I talked a lot about her win, how we felt about her beating Charlie, you know, how we felt about Survivor 46 as a whole. But now with a whole night between the votes being read and us being here, let's sit down and let's dive in and let's try to talk about where Kenzie fits in all of this. But first, let's dive into hide and seek. Blake, you excited to talk about a children's game?
It was interesting. Like, oh, does it? And then, like, every single throwaway comment kind of, like, it's one of those things where when you're reading your horoscope for 30 years, is it like, you may have a good day this Thursday? And you're like, dude, that is so me. I am going to have a good day this Thursday because I'm going to be talking with Phil on the podcast. Wow. And but then, like, is it generic enough where, oh, anything we say could be turned around and doing this? That is what I just meant by saying that. But like, even the stuff of like, oh, Q, the person who found Q was Liz. And like, he was like, nobody else walked over here. Liz is going to walk a far distance to do whatever she needs to do to win. And then in the finale, Liz walks a far distance to mess up Maria's chances of winning. And so you're like, oh, how far does this go? And like, it's just funny of being in the moment of, oh yeah, let's do this, means we're gonna be like, oh, because the color is blue, they're sad, just like those English teachers taught us 15 years ago when we were in high school. But it is something where I think this is going to be a fun thought experiment, if mm-hmm. you can call it that. And it will be like, wow, they literally told us who was going to win after hide and seek, and you should have been paying attention.
I think what was funny about the hide and seek game was that Charlie was the one who was it to start. So Charlie was the one who had to navigate and find everybody. And who did he find first? He finds Liz first. And I think that what's funny about him finding Liz first is that the entire storyline of Liz was that she was hiding actually quite well. If anybody followed her exit press conversations that she's had so far, she talked about how she was really trying to play up how much she made, but she doesn't make that much money. She was trying to play that up so that she could then turn around and at Final Tribal Council say, I was doing this to lower my threat level. I actually make however much money. I'm a single mother. I'm trying to take care of my daughter. Like, she was going to try to spin that. Now, whether that was going to work or not, I don't know. But it is funny that Charlie finds Liz first, but then they go and they find Venus. And I think Venus being the fact that Charlie does, ultimately Venus's conversation with Charlie about the idol is what gets Venus voted out of the game. So it's funny that Charlie finds her. And then what was it? Then it was Tevin, Tiffany. They're talking
because the Tiffany find was the one that was like literally in my head of, oh, like somebody makes the comment when they find Venus. Tiffany of she was wearing her red buff pretty much in full view. She's not going, she's going to be sloppy enough where she'll lose because she's going to be sloppy. Mm-hmm. And then less than two episodes, maybe it's three episodes later, Tiffany goes home because of a sloppy, over greedy play. And I was like, okay, now there's some actual gas in this thought process here. And I don't know if Tiffany's looking back at that as people are talking on her first view through this episode and being like, God damn it. or if she's like, well, that literally could not be more of a coincidence. Literally how I hide and seek. Like,
but it does almost feel scripted with the Tiffany one, right? Because for her to say, for Venus to say, she's a little sloppy and she's going to make a mistake. And then a couple episodes later, she gets sloppy and makes a mistake. It almost feels like it's being set up. And maybe that's why the editors did want to focus so much on this hide and seek game.
Right. And I think that's something where whenever we, why did we give so much time to this? Like, we gave so much time to Taylor Swift versus Led Zeppelin or Metallica or whatever. And like, oh, now that we know both of those gentlemen made it to the final three, it does make sense that we would maybe focus on those two people doing that. And like, I don't think you can say, well, that was foreshadowing of Charlie's going to have more songs than Ben does and ultimately beats him. But like, the idea of, oh, Hunter is hiding so well, he will win this game. Mm-mm. If we let him ever, like, he's so good at this game, we even a crappy game, as soon as he loses one immunity, he's gotta go, or he's gonna literally beat all of us right in our face and laugh at us the whole time while he's doing it. Is like,
well, and what's funny, so here's my favorite part about the Hunter part, and this really stood out to me. Look, and this is literally like we're diving into English class in college right now, but we're really talking about an episode of reality television. But I just think this is very fascinating. What do we notice about Hunter in this? He hid so well nobody could find him. Okay, what is that kind of like? The idol that he didn't tell anybody about. When do they find him? When he tells them that he's up in the tree, or when he makes a move or something, and that's when Q spots him. And what does Hunter do? He tells them that he has the idol, and that ultimately gets him voted out of the game. And I just think that that's a really funny parallel and something that is worth pointing at and saying like, oh, that's kind of interesting that Hunter, would he have ever been voted out of the game had he not told them about the idol? Probably not. He would have just played it and he would have been fine. But whether it's a game of hide and seek or it's a game of Survivor, that's what he chose to do.
He'd still be up in that tree hiding, and then
they can't vote him out. He doesn't go to tribal, right? What would they have done? Back in Gabon? Wasn't it just like, oh, he's dead? Okay, we're moving on. Like,
yeah, dude, I forgot about GC and Gabon being a hideaway like that. The one that was also interesting was Kinsey of. Her thing, whenever she gets found, is not negative. And it's kind of like brushed off and said like, wow, what a great job Kinsey did. And like, as the Disneyfication of Survivor happens, of like, you can't say anything bad about the eventual winner or that'll make people feel a certain way. I feel like that should have been a big hint to all the academics at
home.
I
will say that. Kenzie early on in the pre-merge though, she was getting pulled over the coals a little bit. I mean, Q's talking about wanting to vote her out. Jess didn't like her. She had the bad moment with Banu. Like, she definitely had her struggles on Yanu. It was just in the post-merge that they really started to, everything Kenzie did turned to gold instead of shit, which was good for her. I mean, it worked, but yeah, I think Q says about her, he already knows she's likable, but now she can go undetected. She could go undetected. That's scary. It was hard to find her. And she went undetected by Ben and Liz and Maria and Charlie, who were all thinking of themselves as bigger threats than Kenzie, who is your ultimate winner.
And I think that's something where Q saying that Hey, it's just so funny of like, if you're thinking about that, about hide and seek, why are we not targeting Kinsey immediately after this? Or like, yes, I know why, because we need to get out Hunter. And like, I think that's what's impressive about Kinsey's game is like, she's literally not hiding. She is everyone's friend. She's literally everyone's clapping for her when she wins immunity a couple times. Like, that's the number one thing. If you ever get on Survivor and other people are clapping for someone when they win immunity, they will vote for them to win in the end. That is the likability, like, not the like good job version, but like, I am so the first person that ever happened to is Cochran. It happened a couple times with Kinsey this season, but like, I don't know if they clap that hard for everyone to win and they just don't show us in the edit, but like, that's a clear, like, if everybody's like, I'm so proud of you, what a wonderful moment for you in your life, like, they will do that and give them $1 million in 2 weeks from now too. And like, that's something I would tell people, like, get rid of these people. Kinsey winning is very
before we get into Kinsey winning, okay. I want to say too, Ben was not found in the game of hide and seek either.
Oh my god, look at that.
And Q says he's capable of playing under the radar game and it could get him through to the end. And sure enough, who wins the final immunity challenge was Ben, who had really not been viewed as, if you were going into that final immunity challenge, you would have said he had the fourth best chance. I mean, he was getting pretty much smoked every challenge he would go and do. So yeah, I think it actually did foreshadow quite a bit. And then we even have him say Hunter would take, if he's going to go that high up in a tree, he might take a shot at Q, but he's never going to get the chance to take the shot at Q. And he doesn't get the chance to take the shot at Q. So I just thought all of that, I mean, that's your Survivor hide and seek game for Survivor 46 in a nutshell. And I did think it was pretty fascinating.
And that happened during Tevin's boot. So that is final 10?
Final 10. Yep. Day 15, so still plenty of time left in the game.
And I don't know if they gave it to us of Ben's going to be a finalist before Final 10, but that's something like, if you are trying to win money in these Survivor pool leagues and you guys have a Don't Look at Spoilers thing, and you're like trying to go from episode to episode of I want to win that $200 that's in our Survivor pool, if somebody says Ben could get to the end out of nowhere, and like, that's got to be like a maybe I should move Ben up in my rankings or whatever. Like, I feel like if you've been paying attention to Survivor and you're trying to change your relationship with the show, or you're trying to like, I want to watch more podcasts, I want to look at this more academically, or like, I've been bored with the show, what more can I do to interact with it? I think the people that go to film school like myself or whatever, like,
hey, I did that.
Not that we're trying to hoity-toity it, but like, that's something you can, oh, I'm going to watch back this episode and look for narrative elements that could push the story forward or whatever. Or what am I actually watching now that I'm not emotional and my favorite tribe lost and it was a rough time because one of my favorite people got votes. But like, now watch it back and do that is something where some of us are doing that on first pass because we can't turn it off. But like, that's a way to interact with a show that maybe is cool for you after watching 40 seasons and you're like, I need to do something different in my Survivor viewing experience.
Well, especially like I like to talk about the edit a lot. I like to talk about the confessionals a lot. I like to talk about all of that. And you can see it now. We've now had 2 90-minute seasons. And granted, that's not a massive sample size. I understand that it's the smallest sample size you can have that isn't just one season, which is an outlier, essentially. But I like to look at it. And in the final threes of both 45 and 46, the final three in each season got a confessional in every single episode. And I could see that as this season was going on, that Ben kept getting confessionals, even though it didn't feel like they were telling us a story from Ben. So if they're not telling us his story, why are they giving him confessionals? And maybe you tune into this podcast and you say, man, Phil talks too much about confessionals, or I wish he would stop talking about this, that, whatever. That's fine. But that's what I like to look at, because I do like to look at it from, what is the story that is trying to be told to me? And I do feel like Kenzie and Charlie had a very even story told about them throughout the entire season. But I do think, and season 47 is going to be 90 minutes. If you start to get to the point at final seven, final eight, where there's one player who's had a confessional in every episode, but it doesn't necessarily feel like they're the biggest, the most impactful player on that season, they're probably going to sit at final three. And so, like you were just saying this, I just think like there are ways to look at Survivor. I know when I said in my predictions and power rankings this week with Austin and Will, I said that I felt Kenzie was going to beat Charlie at final three and that Maria was going to go home at five. And I got that right. And a lot of people were saying, oh, he's spoiled. He's spoiled. I'm not spoiled on anything. I don't look at spoilers. I don't want to know spoilers. The castaways aren't going to tell you spoilers because they don't want to get hit with NDA allegations or whatever and lose their prize money. Nobody's telling me anything. It's just when you watch the show, Kenzie and Charlie were going into the finale with 70 confessionals each. Maria was going in with 40, 35, whatever. So was Ben. So you could sit there and you could say, it makes more sense that Charlie and Kenzie are going to get into the final three because the story that is being told is one that they are telling. And Ben probably isn't going to go out at five, but he's also not going to win because we've barely heard from him in like a real strategic sense. So all that's to say, I do think that there is a way to watch this and see it. And going back through this hide and seek game, while it might not be perfect, I do think it's a fun exercise of, wow, there is a lot that they put into this scene that made sense. They're not just trying to pad 90 minutes.
Right. And like, I think the thing with Ben is he rocks. He's dude. He shreds. It's like, these aren't fully thought out. Like this isn't going to be the most insane gameplay confessional or whatever, but we are still hearing from him is kind of like, okay, this is a zero vote finalist type thing. It's a lot of hindsight 2040, but like that's something where you're like, oh, that makes so much sense. How could I have been so dumb to not see this trajectory for him? But I think there's so many other people, like at final nine, it's like this could have been Liz or Venus or Q. And so it is kind of like, oh, how did you not get it right? It's like, well, there's like three of them that this could have been. And I think what's crazy is we've been talking about that first, hey, we're on a boat. You're getting marooned. Jeff Probst is saying, you are not going to win and nobody's going to be with your vibe. You are going to get zero votes in the end. To have that person be Ben and the vibe is you're too nice and you're too rock solid and somebody's going to literally open up your final tribal council and say, we don't want any of your dumb rock puns. Is kind of like,
and then Tiffany turns around to somebody who makes a Beatles reference.
Make it make sense, Tiffany.
JF's in. I'm just saying. I understand. Look, okay. I do want to address something though, because I didn't really talk about it last night, and then we can get into Kenzie's win. I'm very appreciative of the fact that the final tribal council has gone back to pretty much everybody gets their moment to ask a question. And I understand that this is more of a hybrid of the old school and the new style where it's not totally an open discussion. So we are hearing from everybody. I felt like Tiffany got to grandstand a little too much, and like Tiffany versus Q having an argument, I don't give a shit because neither one of them is going to win the $1 million. And I understand that, you know, they're trying to get to the bottom of everything that's going on, but I feel like Tiffany probably did more work for Kenzie than Kenzie even did for her. I thought the whole 30-second shtick from Soda and Tiffany was very cringeworthy. I thought it was like really stupid. It's like, what? Why? Like, why are you cutting it at 30? Also, I counted a little bit 34, I think, for Kenzie, and I think I counted to 28 for Charlie. So I'm just saying it was a little bit much for me. And I understand, like, good, if that's within the rules, same thing as with Liz going back to pick up her challenge piece. If it's within the rules, do what you got to do. I'm just more saying I don't necessarily think that that's how I want every final tribal council to be, even if I don't necessarily think that that would have changed the outcome of the season.
Watching that final tribal council, to me, it's like, why are you telling people 30 seconds only?
Yeah, I hated that. I like, absolutely hated that.
Like, are any of these three people long-winded?
Time.
Has that been time. A thing?
No, Blake, that's time. You're done. Stop. Like, that's so stupid. Like, imagine if that's how I did this podcast the entire time, where you spoke for 15 seconds. Like, all right, you're done. Bye. But like, you're mid-thought. Ben was mid-thought, probably about to get to the point. And it's like, oh, we're stopping you. Also, like, here's my whole thing. You know Tiffany's voting for Kenzie. And look, I like Tiffany, so I'm not sitting here being a dick. And sorry, I did just interrupt you here, which is funny because now I'm doing this with time. But like, you know you're not getting Tiffany's vote unless you're Kenzie. So if you are Ben or you are Charlie, just talk through her. Who the hell cares? She can keep yelling time as much as she wants, and you can sit there and keep talking. What is she going to do? There's no rule that says, oh, well, Tiffany said 30 seconds, so I must abide. Jeff's not going to be like, Charlie, you heard her. She said 30 seconds. You need to shut up. Just keep talking. You're not getting her vote anyway, so try to finish your point and finish your thought.
But Jeff even did the opposite of like, I really like that, Tiffany, that 30 seconds. Pretty great. How about 30 seconds to wrap up your game?
But Jeff also did not care about an actual 30 seconds. Oh, Jeff wasn't going to cut anybody off after 30 seconds.
Like, I think that's the thing where when we're watching this for whole posterity of this was an A season going into the finale. Does the finale make it better or worse? Who's going to say? But when you get on Survivor and you're on that beach, make sure your ally is Tiffany.
Yeah.
Make sure your ally is not Maria.
Mm-hmm.
Because a tale of two number ones going into final tribal council. I made a joke on our Discord, which maybe people saw. It was like Maria voting for Kinsey is like Will voting for Blake over Phil if we had made it to a final trap. Like, it's so, there's no way Kinsey expected that vote. There's no way Kinsey was like counting on things in her head or like there's no way she connected to a question for Maria. The fact that Maria interrupted Charlie on a question and was like, I don't know about that. And it's just something where that's so heartbreaking of what are these relationships we're making on the beach? Some of us are going through the motions of we are going to be lifelong friends. I cannot wait to go to Coachella and Electric Daisy Carnival with you next year. And some of us are like, you're going to be in my wedding. And we see that for previous seasons of some people are going to each other's weddings. But what was going on with Maria where none of that really was real? And is that something that Charlie could have ever foresaw? Is that something that Charlie could have said one more sentence differently? Was it bitterness or was it, I wish I was Charlie, and if I can't win, I don't think Sega should win? Or was it, I saw myself in Kinsey, and Kinsey's going to start her life, and I'm connecting with her over fire making? It's just like a, wow, what happened in the last 10 minutes to make the last 3 weeks not a thing?
All right, give yourself... Blake. Neo Kuro here says, damn, Blake is on point. Blake only goes through the comments afterwards to see who roasts him. He doesn't even look for good ones, so it's nice to get a good one in there. No, I agree with you. And reading Charlie's exit press today, and I haven't seen anything from Maria yet, so this is going to sound more one-sided. I don't think Charlie and Maria are on good terms at all. I do not think they're on good terms at all. Charlie's exit press with Dalton Ross, and I'm just going to read a quick part from it. I won't read the whole thing like I did to you beforehand, Blake, but I just feel like this is important. He thought he was getting her vote. He 100% thought it was happening. And for him to then come out and say, in this moment, the day after, we've tried to talk about this and I've tried to nurture a friendship as best I could, but it's so up and down with her. Weeks after the game, she called me and told me she regretted her vote for Kenzie. And then she came to visit Boston one time and was saying, oh, I can't have any regrets, so I don't regret it anymore. This is from Dalton Ross's interview with Entertainment Weekly. And so then he says, and so I'm really just done with the whole flip-flopping of your reasons why. And to me, look, Maria is allowed to vote however she wants. It's fine. It is what it is. Like, you know, we've seen, I mean, Carla took a beating for not voting for Cassidy and voting for Gabler instead. People were all over her. And I don't necessarily, like, a lot of people are like, I have no respect for Maria now. That's not how I feel in this moment. I just wish I understood a little bit better. And part of me wonders, does Maria understand 100% why she made this vote? Based on what Charlie is saying here, it doesn't seem like it. And then Ben confirmed in his exit press today that had it been a tie, he votes for Charlie to win. So if Maria votes for Charlie, Charlie is your sole survivor and the winner of Survivor 46. And that is going to be something people are going to be talking about nonstop. I was talking with a Survivor player earlier today, and I won't say who it was, but it wasn't from Survivor.
Oh my God, who was it?
It was from a previous season. And so I was talking to them and I was like, do you think Charlie plays again? And I actually phrased it as, do you think Charlie's a lock to play again? And they said, coming into the night, I wasn't sure. But now I think so. Because I truly believe that with Charlie, we now have a runner up with the most unfinished business since Dom Abate. And Dom Abate was the runner up with the most unfinished business since Ozzy. Like, we have so much unfinished business with Charlie here because he truly was that close. And at least with Dom, he had said the thing that pissed everybody off with Sebastian, where he kind of showboated to Sebastian near the end, and that is what cost him the game. With Charlie, it doesn't feel like he did anything that cost him the game. And so I think if you're putting together season 50, Charlie just had 85 confessionals or something, 84, 85 confessionals. There is so many confessionals there from Charlie.
He's the new Malcolm.
Exactly. He was really good TV. I think people really liked him. And I think the conversation, I would argue that the biggest talking point of the new era, other than should Gabler have beaten Cassidy, is now going to be, why didn't Maria vote for Charlie? This is going to be one that 10 seasons from now, when people finally, it makes me laugh when you go on Twitter and stuff and people are like, wow, look at, like, the winners of New Era Survivor are iconic and they don't include Gabler. Those are people who have never met Gabler and don't understand what a great person Gabler is. And, like, honestly, making that, you can get your 30 retweets and your 400 likes, but you're kind of a loser. So, like, sucks to be you. I'd rather be me than you and think that Gabler's a deserving winner. That I'm just going to throw that out there. But I also feel like once people get over the fact that Gabler won, which eventually one day will happen, much like how everybody couldn't believe Natalie White won, and now it's at the point where it's like, ah, who cares? This is the talking point. 10 seasons from now, this is going to be the conversation of, remember when Maria voted this way? And people are going to be talking about on podcasts and on in exit press and things like that. When they're playing the game, they're going to be worried of, I'm really close with this person, but I'm worried that if I don't vote for them, if I don't vote with them, that they're going to turn around and not vote for me, much like Maria did to Charlie. This is going to live rent-free in people's heads when they go and play Survivor now.
Right. And I think there's two things that pops into my head of this. I'll start with Maria and her. Like, Maria is an amazing player of this game. Do you say up into the finale or do you say up and through?
I think through. I think she played a great game the whole time.
And, like, I think if you're saying Ricard from 41 is a lock for All-Stars seasons, how do you not say Maria is also a lock? Because I feel like they have a very similar trajectory of a dominant player when they needed to be that goes throughout the game, doesn't really have an in-game roadmap because they're so good at the game. Everyone knows how good they are at the game. and are get eliminated, but kind of have a kind, not an ego, I don't want to say that, but like have a high value for their own game and maybe being a little bit angry towards others or putting themselves on Mount Rushmore even when they get fifth place. But like, it's something where if you're saying Ricard needs to be on another season and you're also saying Maria could never be on All-Stars, like this, she is one of, I know there's so many good personalities and we're saying Maria maybe didn't have as much personality as these other people, but this decision, I don't think she did it to get on an All-Star season. But if this is the one main talking point 10 years from now, it's like, this is what people are going to remember. And like, why did Maria never come back for All-Stars? Yes, we don't have as many All-Stars as we used to, but like, if we were still doing four All-Star seasons every 10 seasons, Maria would get on one by now.
Here's my thinking. They are enjoying putting older, air quotes, women on the show now. We've seen Julie. We've now seen this. We've seen older women do well on, older players do well on the show. Mike Turner finished second place. You know, we see Julie go very deep. We see Heidi go to Final Three and finish second place. We've seen older players do well. Gabler wins. I believe, and this is how much this changed. If you were to ask me right now, top three people returning from Survivor 46 going into the finale, I would have said Kenzie, I would have said Q, and I would have said Tiffany. If you were asking me now today, who are the top three people that are going to return from Survivor 46? It is Q, it is Charlie, and it is Maria. Because I think if they're going to put Charlie or Maria on an All-Star season, they're putting the other one on. It's going to be up to whether they want to play or not. I like how you keep crossing yourself. It's going to be up to whether or not they want to play again, which I think Charlie is a lock, even though he's kind of starting his career. And I think Maria is a lock. I mean, Maria is a badass. I think she's a lock for sure. They want those two against each other. They want, that's the, this could be a Colby Jerry thing. And it's just funny because during the season they worked hand in hand. I think what confused me the most about this vote was, if Maria's not going to vote for Charlie here, did Maria feel that she deserved people's votes at the end? They played lockstep the entire game.
Of course.
And the thing is, the only move that they didn't make together was Charlie voting out Q. And that should be rewarded. So that's where I'm very confused. Like, Maria believes that she should have won the game, but if she played in lockstep with Charlie the entire time, why not vote for Charlie?
I think what's crazy is we will never know. We will be talking about this when we talk about 46. There's going to be five talking points of every season, blah, blah, blah. But like, I think I appreciated Charlie's saying, we've been together this entire time. And as Maria was pulling back her hand to throw a punch at me, I had already stabbed her and she was completely drawing dead at six. And I think that's something where everyone in the jury is like, oh, crap, that makes sense, dude. Great job. And Maria had never really thought of it that way, probably. And instead of Maria being like, great job, dude, you're right, she is like, oh, you outthought me and made me look bad just now because of my personality or issues or... I don't want to say ego, but like, because of who I am as a person, your very well thought out statement that makes everyone else go, ooh, cool, makes me go, ooh, I don't know about that. And I can't really negatively affect you anymore. I don't remember if this happened before or not. She cut him off. I don't know if we can really trust the editing of a final tribal council. They probably jumble up all those questions anyway.
Yeah.
But I think maybe Maria was like, I did not like how you describe that, or if that's truly what was in your head, great. How about this? I'll vote for Kenzie. And you're just like, God. Like, I think everyone's had a friend where you're like, oh, I spent a bunch of money on their birthday present, or I'm going to get the Airbnb, just pay me back. And somebody goes, well, you were going to stay in here too. Like, why would I pay you back? Like, what? And then you're like, is my friend not really my friend? Or And I think this is just the first Survivor feeling like this in a while, because over 24 days, does this happen in a 39-day season? If they've been together this much more days, if not to 24 versus 36 every time, 26 versus 39 every time, but like maybe this their bond wasn't as strong as some of these lockstep final two we're going to the end people that we've seen over the last 20 years of Survivor. Maybe that's what messed up Charlie. And I think if Charlie
said that Maria, when they hugged at the end, said to him, "Get to final three and you have my vote."
That's insane. And like, I think we saw that too. Like I was doing spoilers of last night of I'm watching on East Coast to see the votes come in on Wikipedia. And when Maria said Charlie, I was like, God damn it. You can never trust Wikipedia. This is so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was so unfathomable. And like, then it was, no, it's true. And I was watching last night on West Coast time being like, what did Charlie do wrong to lose her vote at the end? We're going to be talking about this for years. And then it was nothing. And like, I think what's sorry for the Charlie fans, but when Ben wins final four immunity, that was probably the worst case scenario for Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
And like, unfathomable for Charlie to plan for that, but like Charlie probably needed to be put into a fire scenario and win his way through against Kinsey. And if Ben was never going to put both of them in and he couldn't ask for that, like beating Liz is pointless for him because he wants to face Liz in the end. And I think that was maybe a talking point. I don't know if we saw all 2 hours of his stuff, but nobody has really said what is more impressive for a fire making of winning the challenge or getting brought because my social bonds are so strong.
That's what Will said last night. Yeah.
People know I have a shot at winning, but Ben, that day one alliance that I have fostered and grown with Ben got me to this point. And if you're going to say I'm a game bot or only thought about strategy, let's go toe-to-toe of I got to know everyone just as much as Kinsey did. And I'm fine if purple people are voting for purple people and green people are voting for green people. But the orange people, listen to what I have to say. You didn't see me on day one. Here we go.
So let's go to this then. Since I feel like the whole conversation, I do kind of feel bad for Kenzie right now because the whole conversation is around why didn't Charlie get Maria's vote? Let me ask you this question first, then we'll jump into Kenzie. Are you satisfied with a Kenzie win, or would you have been more satisfied with a Charlie win? Or are you both? Are you satisfied with a Kenzie win, but would have been more satisfied with a Charlie win, or are you most satisfied with Kenzie?
Kenzie winning is very... It seemed destined, and it seemed like we were going to get a major explanation why, or I was waiting for a screw you, I don't need your vote anyway. And everyone goes, whoa. Yeah. And then like Kinsey would never do that. Kinsey had strong relationships. I think for as much as there was turmoil in Q and Kinsey's relationship for the past six tribals they were at together, I think Q talking about Yanu's broken, Yanu's back, Yanu's broken in a thing, now I'm writing Yanu on a thing. I think he is somebody who's such a team player from his time on either selling real estate is probably a single person game, but like it was like
a pretty team job when you're first starting out, especially.
It's a pretty team job when you're starting out, especially, is what I've heard. And like like, I think he was like, okay, Yanu strong. I like Kinsey. What am I doing? Of course I'm voting for Kinsey. It was just, how does Kinsey get these other votes from Sega? Like even now you're like, who voted for Kinsey and who voted for Charlie? And Kinsey has five. And I am trying to think like, oh, who did vote for Kinsey?
She got Tevin. So let's
Tevin voted for Kinsey. And you're like, what?
What? Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. First, I want to address this comment right here, Dan and D'Antonellis. I think Ben would have voted for Kenzie if it was a tie. He has come out and said 100% he would have voted for Charlie. Like, no questions asked, that Charlie was just as there for him as Kenzie was. But I think with Kenzie getting the win, that's what ultimately was being shown, was to show how Kenzie really is a really good person. And some of that got left out a little bit for Charlie. But here's the votes. It went Maria, Q, Venus, Tiffany, Tevin voted for Kenzie, and then Liz, Hunter, and Soda voted for Charlie. And I think what got me was, if Tevin votes Charlie, or I'm sorry, if Maria votes Charlie, but Liz votes Kenzie, and that's how Kenzie wins 5-3, I sit here and say, okay, I get it. Got it. Whatever. Like, Charlie wasn't able to get Liz. He wasn't able to get the Nommies. He wasn't able to get Tevin, which we didn't really know where Tevin's brain was at, but he wasn't able to get Tevin. Tiffany was always going to vote for Kenzie. Venus was always going to vote for Kenzie. And you know what? Q said his whole reasoning was based on the answer to the question he asked. So that's what he ended up doing. Okay, fine. Sure. I would have got that. But I think with the Maria vote being there is what's leaving this sour taste in so many people's mouths of, she votes this way. We don't really understand it. And it is the deciding vote, because it would have made it 4-4. And Ben has said he would have voted for Charlie. My take from this, though, is I don't even necessarily think Charlie played a better game than Kenzie. And I don't know if that's the narrative that a lot of people are trying to push right now, is that Maria screwed this up and that Ben was, or that Charlie was the better player and should be the sole survivor. There are so many scenarios coming out of that final tribal that are 5-3s, Kenzie wins, where we all just sit there and go, okay, great. Like, here's how Kenzie did it. I think it's just because he didn't get Maria's vote, and had he gotten it, he would have been the winner. That's causing more of this. But I think Kenzie, and I hate ranking winners, so I'll preface with that. I think Kenzie probably played the second most impressive game of the new era. That doesn't mean the best, but if you think about where she started on Yanu, her tribe was falling apart. You had all these circumstances going around. She had to learn really early how to play the game. Then she had to jump in and play socially. She had her really tight girl in Tiff, but she wasn't super tight with Q. And she had to navigate this game and keep her threat level low while a bunch of chaos was going on around her. I mean, she's walking through a minefield while people are blowing up next to her. I mean, it was insane. It was just, she was able to escape everything. And to play from the bottom, the middle, the top, she was all over the place. The way she adjusted after the Tiffany boot, I think was incredibly impressive. And I think if Charlie wins, it's a very similar game to D's game, where it was, I got an alliance and I just played it. And there's no problem with that. And I personally think D's game is the only one that's more impressive than Kenzie's, just because of how dominant she was able to be in an era where it's very hard to be dominant. But I think Kenzie played an unbelievably impressive game of Survivor. Will I go on and say, oh, she's a top 10 winner? No. But I hate doing that as it is, because I feel like that's so hard. I was getting in an argument with somebody online the other day about Vesepia. They were saying Vesepia and Tina are bottom 10 winners ever, and it's just like, nothing could be further from the truth. That's just asinine to say. But like, when you look at Kenzie's win, it is social, but they did a good job of showing the social this season. And I just think she played a really, really impressive game, and she is more than deserving of the title. And I think her win, as we move further and further away from the seasons, is going to be one of the most highly revered of this era of Survivor.
I think somebody that I would be like, oh, this person reminds me of this, is like Tommy's win of like they're just people that are, how is this person still here? Like, they're good at everything, but oh, there's somebody else who's like distracting you. Because like, I think it was so interesting of Maria won 3 immunities and was about to break the record. Charlie won 2 or 3 immunities. Kenzie won 2 or 3 immunities. So it wasn't like, oh, being good at immunities was going to get her in trouble or whatever. But like, Tommy and her and some other people are so good at everything that they don't have a clear weakness, where if I know this is going to sound stupid, but if Kenzie had like, oh, I don't get the water, you get the water. Mm-hmm. And there was a clear being like, How did Kinsey make you feel every time she didn't go get the water herself? That's, I knew that and exploited that at Final Tribal Count. Like, when there's somebody who's good at everything, who's also likable, it's like you need to have that one, like, but remember, like, I was so confused whenever it was like, we voted out Tiffany without Kinsey knowing, even though she gave us the plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either Maria or Tiffany would have stood up and been like, that's not true. But like, how was that not like, Kinsey, you could have gone home if Tiffany played her idol, Ben had you gone, whether Ben's pizza drunk or not, you're one idol play from your number one ally away from a revote where it's, we're voting between Kinsey, who's a threat, or Q, who we all know who voted for Q or not. Like,
yeah,
there was no clear, here's a weakness for Kinsey that was articulated to the eight people that were voting. And that's something where I'm like, you got to do that or you're going to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think what's interesting too, to go back to Maria saying, I'm a competitor and I saw the fire in her eyes and whatever. Maria's whole point of the Tiffany blindside was to not have Kenzie be involved because she didn't want Kenzie to get credit for it. So Kenzie's not involved in that move, but Charlie is. Another thing that you would think would notch in Charlie's favor in those circumstances. So, that type of stuff, I could harp on it all day. I mean, it's not hard to harp on, but talking about what you're talking about right now, I do believe that Charlie did make some errors by not trying to go a little bit harder at Kenzie. And maybe we just didn't see it in the edit. But while you're highlighting your positives, we saw Dee pretty much win the game last season because she said, actually, I knew about that, Austin, and you didn't know about it. And I don't feel like Charlie had that mic drop moment. I don't feel like Kenzie had the mic drop moment either. But I don't feel like Charlie had that mic drop moment where now the Tevins who are on the 50, who are 50-50 and stuff go, ooh, that's a good one. I should vote this way. Because the other thing I will say about this, and I could be wrong, but I don't give a shit. Like, I'm podcasting. I'm doing this for fun, whatever. I don't think Maria was 50-50 coming into that tribal council. I think she was 100% voting for Kenzie the entire time. Which, actually, I think might make that
situation so disappointing. Like,
yeah, I think she was 100% voting for Kenzie the entire time.
I don't know if Maria goes to therapy, but I would say her therapist is going to be the only person that would know why she voted for Kenzie. And unfortunately, therapists aren't allowed to talk about that. Yeah. And I think that is probably the most interesting thing that Maria could say. But maybe there's not a way for Maria to articulate that, whether it's on the show or in front of Dalton P. Ross or on Jeff's podcast next year.
Right? Yeah, it's just too wishy-washy. And like, I do wonder how Maria, because obviously we've seen like in the past where certain players are like, I'm done with Survivor. Screw you. I don't care. I wonder how Maria will handle the offseason here, because I feel like we've been pretty hard on Maria, but I'm trying not to be too hard. But at the same time, it's like, this is what happened and I need to have this discussion. Like, I do need to talk about this because this is what people want to hear. So what am I supposed to do? I mean, she is a strong woman. There's no doubt about that. I wonder how she's going to do over the next, you know, however many weeks. And if she's going to be one of those people who's like, I can't wait to do a predictions and power rankings episode or jump on a post game show with Rob, Sister Nino, or any of that stuff. Or if she's going to be one of those people who just says like, I played the game, I'll see you all later. Because it's hard right now. Cause I feel like there are some people who are being unfairly negative towards Maria, but to ask the question of why and not feel like we have the answer of why, and as a community want to know why, I don't think is unfair. I think it's very fair. We're fans of the show and we want to know why Charlie didn't get your vote. And
right.
I think that's going to come down to like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about this. Same way like Michelle and Aubrey got so tired of the same nonsense over and over and over and over again. I don't know. It just really is. Neo Kuro says she really thought that Charlie was just her sidekick and never saw him as a real ally.
I think the saddest thing for Maria and this fan base is they have been talking about her on Twitter constantly of Maria voted out another woman. Maria just voted out a woman. Oh, guess what? Maria is targeting a woman. Maria has voted out her fourth woman. And now the opposite happened of maybe there's some, instead of targeting women, instead of being like, I don't see myself in Venus at all. That's crazy. Maybe there's a glimmer at Final Tribal Council and she goes, I see myself in Kinsey and I want to reward that a little bit. The ultimate act of women empowerment and like, all of my voting out women could be absolved by this action. And now it's almost a double negative of why are you supporting women now? And like, it's so crazy.
This is where I
no matter what Maria, well, no matter what Maria does do, she's like screwed.
And this is where I get so tired of hate for her. Yeah. Of the community in so many ways with that kind of stuff, because the community so often, and when I say the community, I don't mean there's some players who will do this, but not all of them. But there's some players who just spread nothing but vitriol throughout this community, and it's absolutely disgusting. But for the most part, it's a very accepting player community. And I always try with this podcast, I want to be accepting. I don't want somebody to tune into our podcast and feel like shit about themselves. That's not the point. I want to just have fun and talk about this. But I do get aggravated when you see, again, the same people who are posting, look at the five winners of New Era. Ha, ha, ha. I'm so clever, patting myself on the back in my mom's basement. While they're doing that, they're also the ones who are saying, Maria's a sexist. Hunter's a racist. Hunter's a sexist. Like, these are the same people who are saying all that. And JD said it on our podcast when we did the predictions pairings with him. He said, the community a lot will overuse the words racist and sexist and all of that so that it loses meaning when it's actually valid to be used. And a lot of people were calling Maria sexist against women throughout this season, which I don't think anything could be further from the truth. But if you go out there and you play the game and you don't think, hey, I'm going to win, like I'm not going to get this person's vote or I can't beat this person, or I'd rather work with the men, then play the game the way you want to play it. Look, I'll be honest, I don't think Venus was going to vote for a man in any scenario at the Final Tribal Council. I think that's just a fact. I think she was going to vote for a woman because that is who Venus is. Like, that is what her criteria is, and she'd rather see somebody like her win the game, and that's fine. But if I go out and I play the game with Venus, you better believe I'm going to try to vote Venus out before the merge because I don't want Venus to be a jury vote for somebody that's not me. And that should be perfectly fine. And I just think that it gets so overblown. And I do feel for Maria on that standpoint. And again, like going back to when Venus earlier this season made the misogynist remarks. Well, Tevin just voted for Kenzie to win. And Q just voted for Kenzie to win. Hunter is the only man who didn't vote for Kenzie to win. But he even raised his hand at the after show and said, I came into this wanting to vote for Kenzie. And then Charlie convinced me to vote for him. Like, when you throw these words around so loosey-goosey, they start to lose the importance of them. And I do feel for Maria on that standpoint because it is absurd, especially since she just gave a young woman who she probably sees a lot of herself in, as Jordan Stom says here, maybe hearing how Kenzie answered Q's question, she saw some of herself in Kenzie because she said she wants to start a family. And she says, I'm gonna help you get that start. That maybe I wish I would have had when I was your age. I don't know. That's some of the negative part of the community that just drives me crazy sometimes.
All right. Take that negative part of the community. Final question for me, Phil, for you. Letter grade for 46 immediately one day after.
A. No doubt about it. It's an A. I think this and 43 are the clear-cut best seasons of the new era. I'd have to rewatch them. I do think 43 had a stronger finish, It still had plenty of chaos throughout. The run that this season went on of the six episodes in a row post-merge was absolutely incredible. Pretty much from the gem boot on, it was really great. The Mariah episode kind of was what it was because she wasn't that unpredictable of a boot. But this was great. I love the cast. I really love the cast. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, every cast is good. Every cast is good, but I think there was something special about the Survivor 46 cast, truly. These are players we're going to be talking about for a long time, and we're not going to be struggling to say, what did that person do again? Wait, what was their big move? What was this? I think the Survivor 46 cast is a special cast, and I think their dislike for each other in the real world after the show kind of like elevates that. It helps. Yeah. it makes you want to have the conversation about them a little bit more. So yeah, I'd give it an A. I'd say Kenzie A as a winner. I think she did everything she was supposed to. I think she's the closest thing to Michelle will probably ever have. And you all know how I feel about Michelle. So I don't need to go on another hour long, you know, whatever.
Go on for an hour. I will see you in an hour and come back.
Blake, what do you give it, Blake? What's your knee jerk?
It's interesting talking it back of like the first four episodes were pretty crazy. And like, I think from final 10 to final 5 is probably the best run of episodes where, well, there's no way next episode could be better. And I think we said that 3 times in a row, because usually there is like, and then that crazy thing happened at 8 and nothing really happened again until 4. Like that happens on old seasons of Survivor all the time too. Some seasons that are revered very high, but it was like Q being such a whatever Q is that made people complacent in their, oh, I think I'll be fine because we're finally getting rid of Q 4 times in a row. I think that 6-episode stretch is a good double plus of whatever letter grade you were going to give it. I don't want to say A-, because I feel like that would be, what more do I want? So I'm going to stick with an A regular here. And what could be an A+, it's just something where everyone is Sandra, or everyone is Coach, or everyone is like,
call like, wrong.
If there were 3 Qs on this season, or like if Ben didn't have night terrors and was doing crazy strategy and having more crazy fun moments, I'd be like, oh, like, cause he still had some. But if Ben wasn't like super tired, if Jess wasn't super tired, and like if Jelinski had made it 3 more episodes, like there's so much more of like what I think is funny about this A season that we're talking about is there was a lot of potential for it to be better.
And you had that, but we don't double Banu episode because of that, and that still keeps it as an A. Imagine if that wasn't there, Blake.
I mean, if Randon, like, there's a lot of stuff. If Banu goes home in episode 3 like he's supposed to, does it breathe a little more? Like, I think it's, what's your personal relationship with Banu? I liked him for the first 2 episodes, and then it was kind of like, whoo, I'm ready for him to go. Ooh, he's got, hey, okay, he got another one. Ooh, okay, thank God. I think it's interesting we're not going to be in live at Studio City and seeing a reunion with all 18 of these people. Mm-hmm. It's stupid to not have that, because I think that would have been really cool of Maria, now that you've had a PR company tell you what to say about this, here you go, say it in front of this live studio audience, why did you betray Charlie and take $1 million away from your number one, instead of, and then Charlie can, like, I think it was, I haven't been watching. This is pizza and champagne. I haven't been watching those because it drives me a little bit crazy in a different way than I think most people. Of, I need them to have a break. Like, it's basically like, Blake, someone in your family died. I'd be like, I need a couple days. And like, I feel like losing $1 million has to be at least on the level of a family mm-hmm. member died kind of distressed for your body and shock just because of what those words $1 million means. And it's just something where let Charlie eat a cheeseburger and take a day's worth of sleep and then do this. Mm-hmm. Or let's, why are we not back in Studio City yet?
Yeah, and it's annoying, man. And the thing is, like Charlie said in his exit press, I hated that. And Owen said he hated that. And Jake said he hated that. And like Austin probably hated it the least, but I think Austin, like after getting to talk
Austin loves everything. Yeah,
after getting to talk to Austin last week, he's just like a guy who seems like he can spin a positive out of anything. So good for him. I wish I had that in me. But
I mean, D was kissing him. Of course he was like, whatever. Like, I'm going to be dating the person who won $1 million. It's still kind of cool.
it's really annoying. And I hope that they change that. And maybe for season 47, we will get that. I mean, watching this finale, and then we will wrap this up because now all of a sudden it's almost as long as our recap was. But watching the finale last night, what I saw was they pretty much tried to run a live reunion without having the live reunion. Jeff comes out and talks to the audience at the beginning, even though it's not the audience. He's talking to us. He's not talking to a live studio audience. They're showing montages throughout, much like they used to when it was actually being played in Studio City. They were trying to do that. And you also saw them doing this with the jury format. And it seems like they realize what the fans aren't liking and they're trying to make the changes and see if they can slowly make the changes. And I think that eventually they're just going to make the change. I think it's just going to finally happen. And I think we're going to get them back. If it's not for 47 and 48, you better believe 49 and 50, they will have a live audience. You better believe that in season 50, that monumental. Start booking your flights to LA now because it is going to be hard to get tickets to anything. So that's coming. It's gonna be bad.
You know what wasn't an A or an A minus? D's commercial for the next.
Oh, dude, I love
Quiet
that.
Place.
D just did.
You need to survive.
Dude, he just did an ad for a Quiet Place day one. That is the most insane thing. I don't care how silly the ad might have been. The winner of Survivor 45 just did an ad for a Quiet Place. That's massive. Not just for the show. Good for D, dude. You're out of here. Blake's done. He's off the show. Go talk about Big Brother.
What movie? What movie does Kinsey advertise in November? I hope it's a Oscar bait one. Oscar bait where it's like Daniel Day-Lewis can act.
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be Barbershop 4. It's just going to be like her cutting, what's his, Ice Cube's hair. It's coming. Get ready.
Dude.
Nah, man. I get what you're saying, but think about how crazy it is that they ran that ad, that they put that ad together. D, they might be prepping D to take over for Mr. Jeffrey here.
Well, I hope she spends a lot of time doing improv and stand-up classes to get some of that woodenness out, but
sorry. Wow. I like how you just sit here and take shots. What if D owes you nothing, buddy. D owes you nothing.
I like D. No, we can help her get more natural. We can do that.
I'm calling D right now and I'm saying, D, can you teach Blake just how to be better? To be you. How does Blake get to be the Quiet Place person? Yeah, here you go. Corwin Green. D is never going to get on the podcast with Blake is what I'm learning. Look what you just did, bro. Get out of here.
I loved that commercial. I cannot wait to see.
And it's fine to not like it. I just think
year one in theaters this Friday at AMC. Don't use your A-list pass. Go ahead and pay full price. That way, John Krasinski.
Shut up. I have to say that I think it's epic that a Survivor winner in season 45 is doing that. I think that's epic. That's huge. That is normally reserved for bigger stars. And the fact that this is Survivor 45 winner, I think we are going to see D as a serious contender to take over for Jeff. I'm serious. I'm just saying. Okay. So the views of Blake do not represent how I feel or how the rest of us feel. Blake is on his own. That's why he's being demoted to Big Brother. He's the one who has to suffer through that while I enjoy my summer. So,
Big Brother.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed everything. I do have winners finally for the prop bet game, so I'll announce those right now. Caden Neese and M. Yoder. So you guys tied for first, so I'll be able to send out, I have shirts and stuff, so I'll be able to, I'll email everybody and let them know. They both had 25 points. I am excited for this off season.
Speaking of shirts, what does OU Twit mean?
OU Twit? So I got this, actually. This was put out. CBS gave these out at the FIU thing.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, they gave them out. It says Survivor 46 on the back. I can't really show it. But anyway, but yeah, so I'll be reaching out to all the winners of our games in the next few days, and we'll get out some prizes and all of that fun stuff. I hope you all enjoyed this season as much as I did. This is the last coverage we're doing. I'm going to put my after show up today for the patrons, for the top tier patrons. And then we're moving past Survivor 46. Blake will be doing Big Brother this summer. June-ish is when you're going to start doing some, like, get to know my taste of Big Brother coverage, right?
Sure. And then Survivor 40-several in the fall.
Survivor 40-several in the fall. We'll be talking some Survivor 50 stuff. Throughout this entire off season, we might even dive into House of Dragons. Me and Blake were talking about, should we try to do a scripted show? And that feels like one that people actually watch. So we were considering maybe doing House of Dragon, but we'll see if people actually want that. Hoping to get some tell-alls, but not sure if we're going to be able to get them yet. Anyway, all that's to say, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. Will and I are going to be doing Australian Survivor, starting to talk about that in June. And we are doing our Amazon rewatch right now, so that's really fun. So we have a whole bunch of stuff going on. Let us know what else you might want us to cover throughout this entire offseason. My plan is to do some Survivor Season 50 coverage, maybe do a season rewatch. And then before we know it, it'll be August, and we'll be getting the cast announced, and we can start diving in. And I'm going to be honest with you, if you're a patron, you're probably going to get a little bit of a cast discussion for Season 47 earlier than those who are not patrons, because that cast is just rolling out over on Inside Survivor. I think he might actually have the entire thing. And I'm not going to wait until the last second to put this out. So we'll definitely start talking about that a little bit earlier. We're four people short right now. But that's it. Thank you all for listening. Blake, way to jump in, way to be a hero, way to ruin our relationship with D that we didn't even have. Giant middle fingers to you, Mr. Blake. And
there's somebody from Winnipeg next season.
Right? Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you soon.
The nerd is going to be 41 now?